3. First Corinthians chapter number 3, as we mentioned this morning, we're going to kind of continue on with the same thoughts inside the message. I'll give you a little background about what we talked about this morning. Is our theme for the year is consider. It's talking about reasoning out, to carefully examine, to give thought to. And last week we talked about consider Christ and talked about how we should consider who he is and what he did and consider him in every decision we make. And what does Jesus say? What does Christ want us to do? And this morning we talked about considering the end of our journey. And we discussed the thought that every one of us on our journey, each of us begin at birth, and each of us are going to end someday at the feet of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but it's helped me to remember that and think about, hey, someday I'm going to be before him, and it's going to be in judgment, the Bible says. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So someday we will stand before God. And there's two different times that people will stand before the Lord. At least that would be appropriate for us. Is first and foremost is for those that are believers and Christians on the way to heaven. We'll be in standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And then also we know the great white throne judgment that we talked about this morning, talking about those who have never put their faith and trust in God, never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that someday they'll be cast into a horrible place called the lake of fire. And something that no one wants to go to, and God's made it and gave the opportunity for each person to know him personally and told him the opportunity to be able to have, that they can be saved and on their way to heaven. Here today, when we think about our journey, it's to understand what we need to remember what's important. I'll remind you of that verse this morning we looked at in Deuteronomy chapter 32, where the Bible says Moses was singing or giving a song out to the nation of Israel. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And what Moses was trying to get to the nation of Israel, and the same thing I was trying to get across this morning, it's wise to understand this, that we should consider our latter end. It is wise, it's prudent, it's best, if we will give consideration as we live our lives, that someday we will stand before him, or as the Bible says, we'll be kneeling before him. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So as you're considering your life that you're living and all the things that you're going through, he's saying it is wise with your actions, because what you do here in this world, someday you will be held accountable for. Now, we discussed a little bit this morning about the difference between the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment, but I'd like to give you a little bit of a couple more verses to help us understand what we're calling the judgment seat of Christ. Just listen to these verses in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. But the scripture is saying that for the believer, that someday it will be held accountable, whether it was right or whether it was wrong. And then he says, because we understand the Lord, because we know what's going to happen to those that are going to the great white throne judgment, that should move us. That should give us an inspiration. That should encourage us. That should prod us in a sense. We should persuade men. We should tell people that there is a heaven and there is a hell. There's a heaven we want to embrace, a hell that we want to escape, and that Jesus Christ is the only way to do that. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 13 also talks about judgment seat of Christ. It says, But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So both those scriptures, and we're going to look here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, but both of the scriptures use the phrase the judgment seat of Christ, and it's referring to the believer that someday, standing before God, we're going to be judged according to what we did since we've been saved. what our motives are, and the reason why we did those. So let's jump in here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and let's look at some verses here. And I'm praying that God help us a little bit and to help us understand that we need to consider a latter end. We need to consider it. Someday we're going to stand in judgment or be judged according to our works, whether good or bad, the Bible says. Now, our sin has been taken care of at the cross, and we're not going to be judged according to our sin per se, but instead we can be thankful and praise the Lord that that day that it's already been taken care of. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Our sins are covered. Now, at the white throne judgment, that's not the case. Those are not people who've put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But at the judgment seat of Christ, let's see exactly what it is that we will be judged and how we'll be judged. Let's start in verse number 1. We're going to start all the way back here. The main text is 10 through 16. But verse number 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Paul's talking to the church of Corinth. He says, I wanted to speak to you in a mature way. I wanted to speak to you about things that were spiritual, but I could not. You were too carnal. You were too fleshly. You never learned the things to begin with. I wanted to teach you about spiritual things. I wanted to add upon the foundation. I wanted you to grow deeper in your spiritual knowledge, but you're too fleshly. I had to remind you of things. You're acting too immature. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. He says, look, I had to continue to teach you the basic things of God because you never learned them. You never got that. You're still living according to your flesh more than you're living according to the knowledge of God. And he says, you're not even able to bear it now. And he gives an example why. He says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, I believe he's speaking to believers here, and he's saying to them, this is addressed to believers, he says, look, you're acting carnal. He says, there's envying among you, there's strife, there's divisions. He says, you're walking like you never don't even know who Christ is. For while one say, if I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And they were saying, hey, look, Paul was the one, I'm under Paul's ministry. I was one under Paul's ministry or by some of the converts of Paul. So I'm under Paul's sect. And the rest are saying, hey, I'm under Apollos. And some even saying that they're under Cephas, which is referring to Peter. But Paul puts it this way. He said, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. He says, we're not important. We're just ministers of the Lord that he's given to us to believe. And then he says, verse number six, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He says, it's man just doing the work that God's given him to do. Paul says, I did this portion, Apollos did this portion, but it's God. It is always God that gives the increase. So don't be carnal in your thinking. Don't be envying. Don't be striving, saying, well, I know this person, this person. That's foolishness. That's carnal. Like we talked about in the Sunday school this morning, we should strive together as the body of Christ and not be judging one another, not being envious of one another, not being causing divisions, because that's what the devil loves to see. Verse number 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He's saying, look, it's not important who does what. It's God that does the work. And it says, now he that planted and he that watereth are one, referring to the fact that we're working at the same goal. We have the same common purpose at hand. He says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And that's what they're saying here. He says, look, stop comparing one person to another. Stop saying, I belong to this person or not. It's God that does that. And we all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ that are believers. And then he says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So he continues on to say, hey, look, we're laboring together. And we should labor together as individuals. But more importantly, remember, we're laboring together with God. What we're trying to accomplish in this world is not something for ourselves, but we're doing it for the Lord. And then he begins to put us in remembrance to something that's important here. And this is what we would consider the judgment seat of Christ. Someday when we stand before him, how we will be judged. Now look to what it says. According to the grace of God, which is in you, it was given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. Everything else is built upon that foundation. And then it continues on. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. He gives the example that there's some precious things that are built with, and then he gives some things that are not as precious. Then he says, every man's work shall be made manifest. That idea of manifest is talking about revealing. You can imagine a curtain being pulled back and exposing the light of whatever's behind it. You know, we can fool people, but we're not going to fool God. And you might be thinking, okay, I'm on this journey, Pastor. You talked about the journey this morning. You talked about the different stages and stops in life. But someday when I get to heaven, someday or when I get to that judgment seat of Christ and I'm before him, he's going to think I'm pretty good. He's going to think, hey, everything's, all these things that you've done, and now it's going to be made manifest. Everything's going to come out in the open. We might be able to fool our pastor. We might be able to fool our teachers. We might be able to fool our spouse, our children. But the reality is, no one's going to fool God. You're never, ever going to fool God. And that's what he's saying to them here. Stop being carnal about things. Stop doing things in a carnal, fleshly way. Instead, remember that someday you're going to stand before him. And look what it says here. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And we're going to talk a little bit about that fire there, but it's going to be tried. Our works are going to be tried according to our attitudes and our reasons. And let's keep on going. And it says, because every man's work of what sort it is, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. They're saying the reason why you did that work. Did you do it for the Lord or did you do it for yourself? Remember, he's talking to people that are being carnal, people that are being fleshly, people that are building and building and building and doing and doing and doing, but they have their wrong purpose in mind. They're saying, hey, I'm doing this for Paul. I'm doing this for Apollos. I'm doing this for Cephas. But he's saying, look, you're carnal. Lose all that and understand that there is one foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. And when we begin to build upon that foundation, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, those things that are worthwhile, no, men might applaud us, but it doesn't matter what men says. Once again, you can find someone out there is going to agree with you. You're going to find someone out there who says, oh, you're good, you're wonderful, everything you're doing is amazing. But it doesn't matter what man thinks, it matters what God thinks. And on this day, as we've lived this life, and many of us have been saved for many years and served the Lord, and we've built things, and we've done things for the Lord, when we get to his feet, what's going to be left? What's going to be shown? Let's finish the last couple of verses, and then we'll jump in here. It says, that if any man's work abide, which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So what they're saying is when God looks at our works, what we did from the moment of salvation until the moment we at the feet of Jesus, the works that we did, when he looks at that, and when they are tried by fire, whatever that is left over, whatever wasn't burned up by the fire, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, they are the things that we'll be rewarded with. Or those are the things that we will be counted, receive a reward. But verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. And the loss they're referring to, I believe, is the rewards that they could have earned. But he himself shall be saved. And I think this refers to eternal security here. It's saying even though that these people are carnal, even though they were not living for God like they should, and even though they were building wood, hay, and stubble, he's saying even though they're going to suffer loss and the idea that they're not going to be able to have the opportunity to be rewarded in heaven as they could have been, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That they're still going to be in heaven. They're still part of a sonship. They're still part of the family of God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And Paul is here, and he's explaining this to them, and he's giving all these different things to help them understand. Serve God. Do it with the right heart attitude. Do it with the right spirit. And serve him, because someday at the end of our journey, we're going to be at the feet of Jesus. And what's it going to be like? Can you imagine that? So let's look at a couple of things here tonight with this. I'm praying that tonight to be a blessing and help to you. First of all, the point is, who will appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Who will appear before the judgment seat of Christ? We've gone over this, but I want to make sure you know that, remind you of this. It is not for the unsaved, it's just for the believers. When it talks about 11 and 12, it's talking about the foundation that was laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's the beginning point. We've put our faith and trust in him. The judgment of the unsaved is the great white throne judgment. It's found in Revelation chapter number 20, verses 11 through 15. They will be judged by what? They're not going to be judged. Their eternal destiny is based off whether or not their name is written down in the book of life, whether or not they've ever put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so we got to remember that. Second thing I want you to think about, and it's an interesting thought, is what is the fire that will be displayed at the judgment seat of Christ? It says here in verse number 13, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for that day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You say, well, what type of fire is this going to be? There's a couple different thoughts here. My first thought here, I think, when it's talking about the fire, and I think the two things are connected, is by the word of God. In the scriptures, in the book of Psalms, it talks about how we'll be judged according to the word of God. And John chapter 12, it talks about how the word of God is something that we'll be judged according to. Scripture contains the mind of Christ. And because of that, scripture is how we will be judged. Scripture was complete, therefore a believer does not need anything else. We'll be judged according out of the word of God. And not only is it the scriptures, I believe, that's the fire, but I also think about the illustration that's given about Jesus and the eyes of fire that it speaks about in Revelation chapter number 2. They're described as a flame of fire because he knows everything about us. It is not my pastor who will judge us. It's not our church that will judge us. It's not a denomination that will judge us. It's not our parents. It's not our spouse. It's not our friends. When we are there and we're before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, it is as if he will be able to see right through us, which he can anyway. And he knows exactly what we've done and the reason why we've done it and the purpose behind it. So what will that day be like? And you say, Pastor, what does this have to do about the end of our journey? It has everything to do to say that someday when I stand before him, I want him to be pleased. Someday when I stand before him, I want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Someday when I stand before him, I want rewards, not so I can show them off in heaven, but the Bible says we'll cast those crowns at the feet of Jesus, that we'll give those rewards back because we want to bring glory and honor to him. And he's there and you're being judged. What is that fire? It's as if he could see and understand and everything that has been built, all the work that's done, all the hours, all the ministry, all the things that have happened, that it will be burned with fire. And those things that have been done with the right attitude, for the right reasons, with the right purpose, will remain. And based off of that, we'll receive a reward. That's what it's talking about when it uses the word at the end of verse number 13, what sort it is. I don't know about you, but I've been thinking and praying and thinking, okay, I'm in this journey, and God's called me to be a pastor. When I preach, I don't want the hours of sermons or the hours I get up and preach, the hours of service to be all for naught. I don't want him to look at that someday and says, all that stuff was worthless because you did it in a carnal, fleshly way. All that stuff doesn't matter. All that stuff means nothing in eternity. I don't want it to be like that someday. I want to have the right spirit. I want to have the right heart. Someday, if I'm considering Christ and I'm considering what my latter end's going to be, I want it to come to a spot. And when I realize and I understand and I accept the fact that I know someday I'll be before him, and someday I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Someday I want to hear that. That means what I do today, I need to make sure it's done right. I need to make sure it's done with the right heart attitude, with my best ability, with the desire to want to serve him and please him, not in a way that it's going to be for myself. So what's the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ? Now, it does not pertain to salvation. We talked about that, but it's the service. Salvation is a gift to God. It's not a reward. 14 times in the Bible, it's called a gift. And a gift is the very opposite of a reward. A gift is something that is purchased by someone else and is given to a person freely. If you have to pay for anything whatsoever for anything for the gift, it's not a gift any longer. It's something that you bought. Jesus Christ purchased the believer's eternal salvation himself. by the great price of his own blood. There's nothing the believer can add to this, and there's nothing that can be taken away from it. I am saved by God's grace. I serve the Lord who saved me by his grace. And the judgment seat of Christ will examine that service, the service I have done for him, the service that I have lived for him. You think about it, if a son works for a father, and maybe he works at a business or even on a farm, and that son sits there and he does a very poor job, it does not mean that he's going to lose his sonship. It means that he's just not going to be rewarded the way he could have been based off of his years of service. If the son is a slacker, he's still a son. He's still loved by his father. He's just not rewarded in the way that the way that he could have been. And when it says in verse number 15, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, it's talking about eternal security there. How could a person lose their salvation when God has said it's eternal life? The judgment seat of Christ is not for punishments, it's for rewards or the loss of rewards. The believer's punishment fell upon Christ, and the judgment seat of Christ is like an athlete that's competing in the Olympics. If he loses the race, doesn't mean that he did not run the race or he wasn't part of the race. He just lost the reward that he could have had. And the next thing is, who will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? Who will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? There's two kinds of Christian lives that's going to be judged here that you see. You see the foundations that are mentioned, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. One kind of the Christian life is likened to the gold, silver, and precious stones. It refers to that which is eternal, to that which has eternal value. Think about the gold and the silver are things that refers to things that are walking in fellowship with the Lord, walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh, maintaining a fruitful prayer life, delighting in Christ's word, loving Christ's church, being zealous in Christ's work, separating from the wicked things of the world, and refusing to conform our lives and standards. There are things, as you think about gold, silver, and precious stones, there are many things that have to be dug out. There's work that's involved, and there's digging and cleaning and purifying, even sending it through the fire to make sure it is pure. These are the things that will be richly rewarded. The other type of Christian life refers to the wood, hay, and stubble. This refers to what is associated with man and the things of this world. Things that do not last and they do not have value before God. Things that can be built up and you have a huge pile of hay or wood or stubble. And then you have just a few diamonds. Which one would you prefer to have? You'd rather have the few diamonds because of the value that's there. And there's a lot of people that are taking and have the foundation of Jesus Christ and they're putting a lot of things up there. And it looks big and it looks great. It looks wonderful. But it's built on the right foundation. But the wood, hay, and stubble, when God sees that, he's going to say it's all worthless. You know, sometimes in this world, I think people are going to think, well, the people at the judgment seat of Christ is going to get great rewards or those that have some type of big this or big that. But I think many times what the person's going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, is the one who has just been faithful year after year, year after year. I think sometimes people are going to be disappointed with those that have built such great enterprises. Not always, obviously. But they're big and they're for show. Wood, hay, and stubble Christian living refers to walking in carnality, indulging in sinful pleasures instead of walking in the Spirit. Talks about wasting time with vain things and talks about not spending time with the Lord. It talks about wasting our lives away with the things of this world. Think about the next thing. What is the reward of the judgment seat of Christ? What is the reward of the judgment seat of Christ? If you go and do some other, and for sake of time, go and look some other, they talk about crowns. They talk about treasures. Most importantly, I want to think about that word of commendation. The word of commendation. And if we're saying that we're on this journey and we're looking forward to that day, and when I see and I stand before him, yes, it'd be great to earn a crown. But to look to him and say, I just want to hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant. I want him to be pleased with what I've done. But remember, if we would understand this, we have to consider our latter end. We have to consider the fact that someday I will stand before him. Someday I will give an account. Here we're talking about the believer's judgment. The one, what since I've been saved, what have I done for him? What has been my attitude? What has been, how have I used my abilities? How have I used my treasure? How have I used my talents? By what authority did I do these things? Did I serve the Lord? Because under his authority, under his power, what the word of God says. And we continue to think about why does the Bible teach us about the judgment seat of Christ? Why are we even talking about this tonight? Because hopefully it motivates us. Hopefully it's something that we see and hear. And you say, why does God even tell us it's going to happen? It's because he wants us to be prepared for it. He wants us to be ready for it. You think about it, it motivates the believer to be spiritual. You hear verses 1 through 3, Paul is sitting there and he's saying, look, you're so immature, I can't teach you the things I want to teach you. There's so much you could learn, there's so much you could grow, there's so much you could be a part of, and I would love to give to you, but you just are not able to understand it. Hopefully it motivates us to be spiritual. Paul's teaching on the judgment seat of Christ was given in the context of warning to the church of Corinth. It says, look, stop being carnal and start being spiritual. There's a challenge that someday at the end of your journey, you consider your latter end. At the end, when you're at the feet of Jesus, think about what he's going to say. Think about what the fire is going to leave behind. And you can spend your whole life building, building, building. But is it the way that God wants us to build? It also motivates the believer to be busy and faithful. Verses 9 and 10 talks about, you know, God is faithful by whom you were called. Actually, verse number 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. When we think about the judgment seat of Christ, not only should it motivate us to be holy, but it should motivate us to get busy. It should motivate us to say, hey, look, someday I'm going to be there. Someday I don't want to stand before God empty-handed. Someday I want to bring something, and I want to lay it at his feet. I want him to be able to look at the things according to what I've done for him. He's done so much for me. What is it that we've done for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You say, well, Pastor, what about the grace at the judgment seat of Christ? It says here in verse number 10, according to the grace of God. It doesn't seem very gracious for a person to have all those things they've done, even if they did it with the wrong spirit and wrong heart. It doesn't seem very praiseworthy. When you think about it, no matter what happens at the judgment seat of Christ, they're still going to be a part of the family of God. They still get to be a part of the praise of the fact that Jesus Christ died for them and they put their faith and trust in him. The judgment seat of Christ is talking about the rewards. There'll be praise of the security of salvation. There'll be praising of the greatness of God's mercy. The Bible says that where sin did abound, much more the grace did much more abound. Grace, God delights in mercy and the blessing that God has given us. And he even says a cup of cold water that's given his name will have some type of reward if it's done in the right way. So how do we understand if what we're doing is right? You think about the attitude that we do it in. What attitude do we have? Paul served not grudgingly, but and not of necessity, but he did it out of a love for God. He would not allow him, he would not have served any other way. And God will judge at the judgment seat according to our attitudes. Sometimes I hear people and I see people's reactions and they're like, well, I'll serve if I have to. You know, I'll do that because I don't want to get in trouble. I will tell somebody else about Jesus Christ because I'm going to be wrong if I don't. You know what that is? That's wood, hay, and stubble. It's coming to the Lord and say, I'm going to do God's work, but I'm going to do it with the wrong attitude. And what they're saying is that day when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, it's all going to burn up. It's all going to not amount to anything. But if we have the right heart attitude out of a love for God and a love for his service, and because of the fact of what he's done for us, I'm going to respond and I'm going to serve him. Those are the things that will remain. Also, I think about not only is according to our attitude, but also our ability. God will require more from some people than he does others because he's given them more ability. He's given them more opportunity. We talked about this morning in our Sunday school class about the different gifts of God for a little while and how we should strive together and how many times a church problems happens in a church is when one part of the body of Christ looks at another part of the body of Christ and says, if I can't do what that person does, then I don't want to do my job. I don't want to use my gift. If I can't have this gift, then I'm not going to use the gift that God's given me. And there's a problem there because of the fact that we're not going to be judged according to that person's ability. We're not going to be judged according to that person's gift. We're going to be judged with the gift that God's given us. And someday, I think when we're down on our face before Jesus, we're not going to look at him and say, I wish you would have let me be a preacher. I wish you would have let me do this. Or I wish you would have, I think you made a mistake. No, instead, we're going to say, boy, I wish I would have given my talent over to the Lord. I wish I would have used my gift for God. I wish I would have been thankful for the way you made me. I see that you're God. I see that you're Lord. And as I consider Christ in my actions, I'm there and I'm just wishing I would have done more. I wish I would have had a bad attitude when I had the chance to serve. I wish I would have, instead of being envious of somebody else's ability, taken the ability and the talent that God has given me and using it to his glory and for his pleasure. I know not all of us have the same opportunities that some do. Some have God's given gifts to, and I've seen multi-talented, multi-gift people, and I looked at them, and I've seen God, how God can work and God can move at times, and it's like, wow, look at that person. Look how much God's given and blessed them with, and they wasted it. And then I've seen some that are just have maybe one talent or just a little bit of a gift, and they're just faithfully doing it over and over and over. That's the person I believe someday when they sit, kneel, bow before Jesus, that's the person that's going to get the reward. Now, you're saying, well, Pastor, I got multi. It's the same thing. If we use it for the right reason, the right purposes, I just want you to think, someday I'm going to be before him. Have I done what I could for him? Someday, that's what Moses was saying. I wish you would understand this. That you would consider your latter end. I wish that you were wise concerning this. I wish you would understand this, that someday you will stand before God. Are you ready for that day? And for a person that's a believer, they are making decisions now. They're serving in certain ways or choosing to serve or not serve. They're having a certain heart attitude one way or another. Sometimes they're being carnal. Sometimes they're being fleshly. Sometimes that's all going to matter someday when we're before him. So this week, it's kind of building on last week's message, is consider Christ. And as we consider Christ, let's consider that someday we're going to stand before him. So as we go throughout this week, let's ask ourselves, okay, what is it that you want me to do, Lord? How is it that you want me to respond? How do you want me to treat my family member? How do you want me to interact with that person at work? And not do it because of the fact that I have to or I'm forced to, but I want to finish my course of joy. I'm not going to let those things move me. I'm not going to count my life dear unto myself, but instead, I know that someday I want you to be pleased with me, and someday I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So because of that, I'm going to lay aside the things of this world. I'm going to lay aside the things of this that have distracted me. I'm going to get rid of those besetting sins, and I'm going to live for you this week. I'm not just going to consider Christ. I'm going to consider my latter end. I'm going to consider the end of my journey, that someday I don't want to hear, I gave you this opportunity, this opportunity, this opportunity, and you wasted it. You had the opportunity to serve with a heart of gladness and have an opportunity to glorify me, but instead you built hay, wood, and stubble. You have the opportunity to produce precious stones and jewels and gold as service, but instead you chose to do it your own way, in a carnal, fleshly way. This week, say, I know someday I'm going to be there, and I know someday I'm going to kneel before him, and someday he's going to look. And I always thought that interesting passage of scripture where Jesus has just been beaten, and he turns and he looks at Peter, who had just denied him. And when he did that, he kind of looked all the way through Peter. And Peter went out and he wept. Peter saw and caught the eyes of Christ, and he saw him and he realized and he was convicted, and he left weeping. And I know that I'm not saying that's how it's going to happen that day, but I just see, as he looks through all the work that I've done, all the service that I've done, all the things I've done in the name of Jesus, I want him to find something precious there. I want him to find something that was done with the right heart attitude, according to my ability, under the authority of the Bible. I want it to be something that's pleasing to him. I want it to be something that just says, Lord, thank you for what you did for me. Because of what you've done for me, I want to respond and do it this way. I think we would all say that's the way we want it to be. But at the same time, we make the decisions here. It doesn't matter at that point in time, at the end of our journey, we've already made our decisions how we're going to serve here and how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. We have to be willing to set aside the things of this world and the things that we want and the things that we desire to say, my latter end. Remember what Moses said. He said to the nation of Israel, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider the latter end. This evening, I want you to consider your latter end. If you're here tonight and never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your latter end is at the feet of Jesus, but is at a great white throne judgment where you'll be cast into a horrible place called hell. But I know that most people in the room today are believers. And consider what it's going to be like for you at the judgment seat of Christ. I think it's written there on purpose. I think the church of Carnal, they were struggling, they were being fleshly, and they're saying, you need to grow up. Stop being childish. Stop doing all the silly things. Stop the divisions. Stop this Paul, Apollos, Cephas. Get over all that. Get over yourself. Because someday you're going to be at the feet of Jesus. And all those frivolous, silly things that you spent so much time on, it's not going to matter. And all that work and all those things you did in the name of Christ to please other people and to make other people think you were something special and great, you're not going to fool God with that. Faithfully serve him with a heart that is to consider him and consider our latter end at the feet of Jesus someday. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.